tonight I want to bring Norco back up to share. Several years ago, I am probably the most unimaginative, non-creative, artsy person. I am a math, I lean on the math side, I'm a left brain on that, natural. I'm German, I just want to take somebody else's stuff and perfect it. You know, however, I don't know what all that is. I'm a pattern recognition. I'll walk down the street and I'll say, oh, they cut their tree, or they painted their house. And Cammie says, what house? Because it's just, I can't help it. It's like it drives her crazy at times. I just see patterns. So I'm very math. So when it became a transforming journey from approaching scripture in that way into a experiential, it kind of happened mostly through crises, that there was no other way to go on with God except to step away from the material limitation I was in into the, what was the beckoning? I'd just say, felt like he said, we can stay here until things change, or why stay? Let's just keep going. So I would learn, and in the process of time, different actors that have been in our body, or in our body, they'd say to me, well, you're just doing what we do to get ready for a part. You're just internalizing, you're becoming one with the character you're stepping in. And I thought, I think that's really true. It must be. I'm just meditating the scripture. So I thought tonight, because we are going to the book of Acts, and literally the entire book of Acts is a script. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to choose your part. And if you're not clear, choose the one you want. And he'll beckon you to go for it, because it's just, we can do all the characters and we can do them in a place of experience. But Noriko is a method actor, was trained in that and dance and all that. And you saw her. Some of us didn't recognize her in her cameo appearance, which I thought she should just show up in that. But in any case, where is she? No, there you go. She didn't go and get them. But I asked her to come up and just share, because she's done it in the world. And she's done it in the spirit. And what we want to do is learn, it's the same principles to touch God or touch darkness or touch just something. But if we can use things that God gave us, because it says in the book, it says in, I think it's Genesis either 6 or 8, when Noah was chosen and found favor and grace in the sight of God so that the whole earth would not be destroyed, but just all of it, but Noah and his family. God looked upon man, and he said, their every thought and imagination of their heart is evil continually. So first mention of heart, and in the Hebrew, you're coupling the, gosh, I wish I knew English, your descriptive verbs, your adverbs, your adjectives to the noun, the thoughts and imaginations of the heart. The heart language is thoughts and imaginations, feelings, scenes. And when God saw this, he saw that, well, this is going to destroy humanity, so I'm going to just stop humanity from destroying itself. And then when Noah comes out of the ark and he releases this offering of, God says, and he smells the savor of the burnt offering, he says, you know, I'm not going to do this ever again, even though their every thought and imagination is against me and wicked continually. David, when he dedicated the temple, or took the offering for the temple that his son would build, millions, billions of dollars collected, he said, now, Lord, cause your people and my son to place their thoughts and their imaginations of their heart on you. So it wasn't just that evil got to rule. There's the opportunity that we can literally place and use and allow our thoughts and imaginations to become or enter into or to explore or to... And the funny thing is that when we do that, the reciprocal is that soon what we're seeing, we start becoming. And I'll not explain it, and an oracle will help us with that. So the beauty of all of the things in front of us today is that we're going to step into the book of Acts, and it's our script. We've all come to acting school 101, Jubilee, stepped into another realm, and we've all been given a script called the book of Acts, and we're all going to have, I think, a lot of tools given tonight to just explore the book of Acts out beyond just the, you know, chronological order or who said what or what was happening, but walking through the book of Acts and experiencing it. So let's welcome Noriko.
Hi again. Oh, hello, everyone. No. Okay. Can we just pray? Just
yeah.
Okay. So. Oh Lord.
Whoa.
We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. So thank you that you're here. And that you are so intentional and so fiercely and ferociously and lovingly gazing on each one of us, ready to take over, ready to do the heavy lifting, ready to bring new joy, ready to meet us right where we are, and ready to bring that union and communion with Jesus, which is our heart's desire. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would hover above and below and through the words that are just said tonight and meet every heart and ignite every heart and unlock every heart to know you more, to know the power of you, Holy Spirit, to know the joy of you, Holy Spirit, to know how you are the great helper, that we can know Jesus more. And we adore you, Lord, and just be magnified in this place tonight in your name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, cool. Thank you. So yeah, I am Noriko, and you guys, do you know what method acting is? Just raise a hand. Have you heard of it? Okay. So maybe about a third of you. So I'll just do a quick. You could always Google it. But basically, method acting is a way to approach acting, which is basically full immersion. You know, just full immersion into a character. So it could be physically, emotionally, mentally. So let's say someone's gonna portray a role, and they need to portray a Holocaust victim. They might be like, I'm going to then lose 50 pounds and literally immerse myself in what it would have been like to be in that role, okay? Or you gain 50 pounds, or you take up the habits of the character, like the character is a smoker, or an alcoholic, or multiple personalities. I mean, you could see where this could go, right? Like the depths of literal insanity. I mean, if you wanted to, but it's based on Stanislavski and Strasberg. Is that substitution even, where you go and with every molecule of your being, you're going to become that character, where it can become, you know, this that kind of edge on the edge is that it's not just on the screen but off as well. So imagine how that could affect your relationships and just your own sanity, your own sense of, you know, what your reality is, you know, because when you're a really good actor, you can look it up. I'm not going to go into all the things, but like Dustin Hoffman's a method actor, or Marlon Brando's a method actor, or Joaquin Phoenix, and he can do some pretty creepy roles and such. So like, I mean, and there are people that, you know, it has gone to some dark places where it can affect, you know, just, yeah, how they approach and live life and things like that. So you just enter into the character completely. And I think in the world, I say in the world because it's like I felt like the Lord was showing me the difference between what it's like when, because it's like our soul is magnifying something, right? And it's like the Lord was showing me, our soul always magnifies something. So let's say in the world, if you're magnifying a character, all that can come on you with that, you know? And the high cost of that, the intensity, how it can affect your personal relationships, et cetera, et cetera. I just kind of want to do like a quick spoof on method acting would be, did you guys ever see the movie Miss Congeniality? It's like 20 years old, right? So if it's spoiler alert, but it is 20 years old, so I'm just going to say it, okay? Big spoiler alert, the movie. But basically, you know, let's say Sandra Bullock, she's a FBI agent, and she has to go to this pageant to make sure that, you know, there's a bomb that's going to go off somewhere, right? So she finds out by the end that the bomb's in the crown, right? And her so she has to, of course, be a contestant to make it funny, right? You know, she's like, and then she suddenly has to be like, I want world peace and all this kind of stuff, right? And so, but she finds out that the bomb is in the crown. And so her mentor, Michael Caine, who had to, like, mentor her on all things, you know, beauty pageant, you know, so she's trying to say to him, the bomb's in the crown. So she goes by him and she's like, you know, like this, and she's going like this, you know, da, 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 da. And he's like,
Yes, wear the crown. Be the crown. You are the crown, you know? And I love it because that's exactly a total spoof on the method acting. It's like, you're like, not just like, what is my motivation? But you're like, I become the crown. It's like, you literally are becoming that thing, you know, even so that's obviously to an extreme. But but it's like, that's they're totally making fun of that because it can really be like, whoa, quite the high drama. And so I would love to just give you a quick backdrop, just because this is my testimony, or a portion of it, that, and Pastor Steve mentioned, yeah, professional dancer, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm a pretty intense person. Okay, just calm down. But oh no, oh no, I'm going crazy. No, but I'm just thinking of my dear husband, who's you know, very like, you know, linear and left brain logic, and he's had a handful on his hands for 20 years. But but anyway, so the intensity. But my training in the natural, and this is just to give you my experience, was that, so I was trained from a very young age to be a professional ballet dancer. So by the time I was 15, I was already on world stages and dancing with the San Francisco Ballet, and just super driven and super, like, you know, just on this trajectory upward with ballet. And then by 19, I was on Broadway, so The Phantom of the Opera was kind of a hit show. We're talking like now 30 years ago, I know, so I'm one of those people like, 30 years ago? But yeah, 30 years ago. That's me. Was like this little baby in our company. We were in Broadway, and then we brought it back to LA here with Michael Crawford, so maybe some of you saw it, I don't know. But so that would, of course, open the door because it was the big hit show back then to then do like acting and modeling and all such things. But it seemed like, you know, that was the time when it was kind of like to look kind of ethnic was like a big thing, you know, kind of ethnic, but like not really sure. So just being half Japanese, it was like I was sort of like pigeonholed into a certain type of role that it was just hard. It was just kind of compromising roles and such. So my acting career really didn't go very far. Because of this, I just have the propensity to just go all in. You know, and so end of story, and Pastor Steve can come up. I'm just kidding. But like, it's like, okay, so he took me out of that. But, you know, he kind of took me out of the acting because it was such a high cost for me, such a high cost. And I remember it's kind of funny. I was in an acting class once, and my teacher was like, oh, that was brilliant. You did Shame so well. And then I was like, okay, well, I wasn't trying to do Shame. And now I feel more shame because I was just like, I was Shame, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm too good at this. No, but I really was like in so much shame at that point, and she thought I was acting, but I wasn't. Anyway, so, but it's that, yeah. So, all to say that I think it's God's mercy kind of took me out of that because it was my soul, I think, magnifying what was darkness or things that were compromising, just not edifying. Like the Lord was like, I don't want to present you to the world that way. I want to present you to the world as a spotless bride and, you know, union and communion with me and me alone. That's just been my journey. Like God wants union and communion with me, that intimacy, that full immersion. And I bless anyone who has a call on their life to do that kind of like method acting in the world to where you can maintain your sanity and union with Jesus. Amen. Pray for you. But like for me, it was like, no. So now then, method acting in the spirit, it's that idea, like, what would it be like to be fully immersed in Jesus? You know, what would it be like to be completely taken over by the Holy Spirit, which is kind of what I sense he's wanting to do in our body here, in our expression of the Lord here at Jubilee. Is a total takeover by Holy Spirit, like he did on Sunday. Yeah, come on, yeah. You know, like with forgiveness and the messages, Pastor Steve said, okay, I yield. And it's more than just like Ephesians 5:1 saying being imitators of Christ. It's this idea of really yielding and surrendering to the Lord. It's like, but I think it's kind of interesting because in the world, you'll method act and it's all this like effort to be like, I will become this character. But in the spirit, really, it is so easy. It just requires us yielding, which I know is kind of like deals with all our fear and trust issues. And like, I'm not sure, Lord, I want to yield all the way. But it really, in the essence, it is so simple, that yielding to the Lord. And the verse he kind of gave me for tonight was John 3:30, where he must increase and I must decrease. And I it's that idea that like we don't decrease first and like empty ourselves out so that we can be substituted by a character, right? But like we just yield and the Lord, because the Lord wants to come and increase.
and then we get to just be expressions of Jesus on the earth. I feel the Lord's pleasure and the Holy Spirit joy when I was thinking about this, how he so desires us to be so curious and like so into him. And so like, I want you, Lord. And it reminds me of some of you met my niece and nephew twins. And when they were younger, not now because they're older and bigger and stuff, but like they would literally like get up in my face when they were younger and they'd be like, they want to be like eye to eye. And then like Thomas would want to stick his hands in my mouth and be like, let me see your gold tooth back there, you know, and be like, let me get in there, you know. And it was so like, oh, they're so in my space. But it's like, that's how he wants in, like with us, you know. He's like, let me in, you know. And yeah, we just had to be like, okay, cool, with that kind of intensity, you know, because Holy Spirit's pretty intense. You guys know that, right? He's funny, and he is a drama king, and he's just large and in charge, you know. He's just wanting to come in. And I feel like by God's mercy, because because of that intensity, I've shared with Pastor Steve a couple times, and this is probably why he came up with the idea, because I'd be like, okay, when I am method acting my soul, it gets really gnarly, and I feel like I'm going crazy. And like if I'm around a person, like I can be like, oh, I start to like take on the characteristics. And as a prayer person, that's great because I can intercede for people and such, but it becomes a little nutty if I'm just like trying to like become a person, you know, like so focused and stuff like that. And I've been working some with Pastor Steve the last months, and I noticed like right after final approach, I hit the wall so bad. I was like, I am done, like just spent. And then all I could think of was, oh my gosh, Monday, there's, you know, the secret place, and there's this, and there's that, and blah, blah, blah. Because Pastor Steve, you know, he's kind of like a German machine, no offense, like you're amazing, right? He's like, Wednesday, every Sunday, Wednesday, 9/11 Sunday. I mean, it's like, I think about like how Ken Peters was like, he's the emancipator. And I remember thinking like, that sounds like Terminator, right? Yeah, like Schwarzenegger. So it's totally like, boo, just nine, every 9/11, Wednesday, Sunday, on and on and on. I'm like, I can't do this pace. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going crazy. And it's like, and I'm like, what? Right, Becky? She's laughing hysterically. But yeah, I bless that in him, but I know he gets tired too. But the thing is that that's not how Jesus expresses himself through me. You know, I'm born and raised as a performer. I like perform or like release, and then I rest, and then rest. It's just kind of been the rhythm of grace God's had in my life. So really learning how to bring Jesus into that and kind of method act Holy Spirit, it's like he gave me the verse Romans 8:6, like how it says, you know, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So if you kind of like put in like method acting, just as a construct for a second, when you method act in the flesh, it's death. When you method act in the spirit, it's life and peace, you know? And you guys know this, when you are yielding to Holy Spirit, it's like, oh, there are the fruits of the spirit. There's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so much love for everybody, so much forgiveness. And then I know for me, when I am method acting the soul or trying to be like somebody else in Jesus, I'm super frustrated. It's super not Jesus, you know? Super like heavy and like, I'm trying to like wear someone else's armor, or that's another expression we use, right, in the body. And so, I think I'm learning how wonderful it is to yield to Holy Spirit as a total takeover. I know Pastor Steve will explain it and practically apply it with scripture and rehearsing our place before the Lord and those promises he's given us, and or like the role in scripture, or something that's speaking to you in scripture, or a person that's speaking to you in scripture, character. And he'll explain that. I know for me as a feeler, or some call it an empath, because I feel, which is I feel atmospheres, I feel kind of what's going on around me, I get to yield to Holy Spirit for him to bring his atmosphere in, if you will, for him to take over so his spirit is bigger, he increases, I decrease. Does that make sense? Yeah, and I think he's like starting to pinpoint that in our lives so we can be really clear like where we are in the spirit. It's like I'm starting to learn how like, oh, I'm magnifying the world, the flesh, and the devil right now versus I'm magnifying the spirit. Because in some ways, like I said, we all magnify something, right? And we're all like, we're all method acting something. So it's kind of like we get to learn, like, are we method acting what's going on in the world, flesh, and devil, or what's going on in the spirit? And it's a practice. We get to practice it, right? We get to practice our roles. This is our practice of
of life in Jesus. So that's about, is that about all I want to say? Yeah. Full immersion. I guess the question is, what's increasing inside of you? You know, what's increasing inside of you? Is it just a question? Lord, what's increasing inside of me? Is it you, or is it like my soul? And I've, you know, experienced that a lot. You know, it's not like suddenly like, oh, it's just always like, always Jesus, you know, 24/7, Holy Spirit, just all through me. But more and more, you know, more and more. So amen. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. Thanks for letting me share. And now Pastor Steve's going to like, no, but he's going to come up and share. So thanks everyone.
I feel that way at times. Oh, wow. Thank you. Norco, you're going to pray at the end, though, for us, just to release. Because it comes from any direction. It's really, I think Western culture is we're resistant to that. In the Eastern culture, in the Hebraic mind, that's how you experience Scripture. You don't try to analyze it or prove it or understand it fully. You actually approach it as a mystery that's being experienced or explored. And so if we were to take the book of Acts and take the first chapter, I'm going to do that because I have a lot of practical places, but just thinking of the first chapter, this is in the, there's the scene you're in, the setting, the story, the backstory. How are people feeling? What are they going through? Why are they there? What are they there for? What's happening? In Acts, we know that we're getting step. This is the sequel to Luke, if we look at it as a movie, and so we're getting the little, you know, brought up to speed with the Theopolis story. And then we have Jesus with his disciples, and it's a review that for 40 days he was there with many infallible proofs, and he was teaching. And using the scripture as a script, it would be like if you were trying to become a character. You would be taking more time intentionally trying to go, okay, well, I don't want to be just a one-dimensional character. I want to step into the fullness of what's happening. And like when it says in verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. That's kind of what started to undo me or yield or prepare me to be more surrendered to just going, I think we're going into forgiveness. Because all of a sudden, in the second verse of the first chapter, you have the already recognition that Jesus is doing something with his apostles through the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's fully present, fully alive, fully breathed upon. They're born again. They just have not been empowered yet to multiplication. But they're authentic believers with understanding of Scripture. And so that then leads me back, and all of a sudden I go, oh, wow. John 20 and 21 and Luke 24, these are all like connectors. And I really, if I'm trying to sort out what does he talk about versus just like an outline, he talked to them about the kingdom, we go and go, oh, there was forgiveness, there was Holy Spirit, and there was understanding the Scripture. Well, I used to be, I'd study, and then you're trying to just, put all this into your brain. But your brain has got it's like a filing cabinet at best, most of the time. If you got a good filing system, you can pull facts and figures out. But where the heart is like a canvas or like a digital imagery that you can create. So the thing is, we gather as much information, then we try to step inside the experience or the picture or the storyline. So you He was in Galilee at part of the time, by the lake. He was at Mount Olivet. He was in Jerusalem. He'd come and go. First there was, wow, I don't know who this person is. Oh, yes, I do. You are Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Oh, you're back again. Wow, what are we on this time? The subject's growing. I think to step into a character, you really have to, for me, you have to just get into the scene and allow the whole spectrum to grow as the Holy Spirit will allow it to grow, and not be afraid when he goes in a direction you weren't ready to go into, or into a person you weren't ready to. The good news is the whole Bible is truth, so you can't hurt yourself. This only can allow you to enter more fully into the truth of the Scripture by stepping inside of that setting. For instance, meditating on this, what the Holy Spirit will do is, it seems like you collect another layer of the story, and you start to look at it and feel it. And then I'll say, well, what would my emotions be feeling? And what would I be, how can I imagine this? And I stumbled on the idea that the one accord that we're going to get into chapter 2 was uniquely, sovereignly prepared for the disciples through the fact that they had already all things in common. They were together with Jesus, hearing the same commands. They had a global assignment given to them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. They had a mandate. You must get the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere without him. But they also had something that was so, so helpful. They had all been humiliated individually, collectively at the same day. Everyone failed, and failed in the same effort, but uniquely in their way. So they were now, we live in a wonderful grace to have much more privacy than they did, because they had been pulled into a communal journey with Jesus. But what happens is, I think if we were to be on, if we were to have the freedom to see and discover, we would realize we're probably all going through the same thing or at the very same time. There'd be waves of depression hit the body. There'd be waves of humiliations designed by God, because we all got a little too puffy, and God has said He's able to raise up the humble, exalt the humble. He's committed to abase the proud for our good. If he sees us shifting confidence from self and reliance upon us, he just says, you know what, I'm just going to let you stumble and fall. Surfing always illustrates it, because there's so many, it's just a fun sport, but, you get it going and you think, oh, I'm going to grab this wave, and, you get cocky and you just miss the wave, or you pearl or you crash or you don't. You just do stupid things. And then you go, ah. And then I always say to myself, well, praise Jesus, because I've just been humiliated, and grace comes to the humble, so grace is coming. It's a freedom, and it's not a moral sport, unless I do something wrong. But most of the time, it's just something you're doing within yourself in a way. So I also have another scripture I use in surfing. It says, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So I say, by grace, I am going to get this wave through faith, and not of myself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I also use Benjamin Franklin's, one of his quotes. The one that he would use in his almanac was, a bird in the hand is better than two in a bush. So I would say to myself when I'm looking at a wave, because you can't see the other ones behind, although they tend to come in sets of three or four, you're not knowing, is this the first, or is this the best, or is this a better one coming? And you often invariably go, I'm going to wait for the next one, and it's like nothing. So I'd say a wave at hand is better than two in the horizon. So you're doing the same thing over and over again. You're building little, connecting points, and you start to collect yourself inside that sport. Scripture's the same. So think about that, and we'll do that, and get Norco to come up in a minute to pray. What if we were with Jesus for 40 days, and all of us are carrying with us a real sobriety that we cannot, will not be able to do whatever he's talking about. We had tried, and we had all failed so bad. And Peter's the worst. You know, he tried the hardest and failed the most. And yet, Jesus just coming in here like, you know, hey, I love you, everything's wonderful, peace, peace, peace. And at the same time, he's speaking about this phenomenal thing that's about to be advanced by this group of people. And you're kind of, whoa, going where? How? I can see when the more I step into where who they were and what they were feeling, that they had to be massively realizing we better learn to pray. We just are not going to be able to do this mentally or willfully or emotionally. We're just not going to be able to make a decision and follow his command. We already tried that. And the last thing he told us to do before we all humiliated ourselves was he said, pray, lest you fall into temptation. So evidently, this must have something to link us to the capacity to become or do what we really don't have the capacity to do, is to pray. He said, the spirit's willing, flesh is weak. You're resourcing your flesh, Peter. So it's, but what I love to do, I'm learning to do even, because my German mind would like to categorize. I like to go, well, wait a minute, whoa, Steve, you're getting too much, you know. Go there and feel it. Feel Peter. Peter's our star of the show, so, man, you know, something's happened in Peter that he's enough being confident to step in his gifting, but to direct it toward the scripture, to follow the Lord and find the replacement for Judas. And he gets filled with the Spirit. Now he steps back into the who he was always made to be, but now with a total different disposition of just pointing it to Holy Spirit and Jesus. And you get to this place where you see, you make a discovery. We all are doing this all the time in Scripture, but then you step into the discovery and just imagine what that would feel like and place it into your current life you're in and go, wow, what would it feel like to be called upon by the Lord to do an extraordinary thing of which I am now so aware that I can't? How am I going to gain the confidence, or what confidence do I need to have? I can't have confidence in myself. That's already what I don't want to go. Where do I go? And you start seeing things. And so you can, I use words, because the more I describe what I see, my ears hear. And the more I hear what I describe, the more I see. So I see, I hear, and I enter in, and I take time. And then I allow, it's super subjective. Holy Spirit is super subjective. He's just super subjective. He's like, hey, let me paint on your heart too. Here, you know, he's like, because he's a vision maker. He communicates in visions and dreams. He communicates with prophecy and tongues. That's how he was introduced in Acts chapter 2. So he's like this, hey, let me give you an impression. Let me drop a feeling. Let me show you an idea. Let me pull out a scripture out of your memory that you might have read, or let me just insert an idea that you're going to go, whoa, I think that sounds like something that's in the Bible, and send you on a journey. So he now gets involved. So then he begins to kind of step in and give us that opportunity to go, wow, I see what's happening. Let me, Norco, you better come up before I want to close this. 2001, September 12th, towers have fallen, airports are shut down. It's on the East Coast, that's the trauma. It's hitting the West Coast, of course, we're all aware, but we're also, I'm far enough away that I'm talking to God on some levels of deep desire for him to come in the fullness of his power and to enable the word of God to be heard clearly. And I pose a question. Father, if you will just heal obesity and baldness, amen, I'll be able to tell people anything you want, and they'll come by the thousands to listen. And they'll want to hear the message because of the fruit of the freedom. And he didn't miss a beat. He said, yeah, but everybody would claim they brought my coming, that they did something that brought me. So there's not enough death. Then he takes me to Peter, and this now forever marked me. So that's why, in a way, and just last thing, in a way, I'm sorry. It's going to be this new thing. It's what I'm going to wear for the summer of love. Our heart becomes a movie screen. Our heart becomes something he writes on and etches. He draws pictures. And the pictures then become a place of visitation and experience. So I saw in a split a second, he said to me, do you know why I chose Peter to do the first miracle? I said, why? Because he had the greatest failure. And he was the most unassured of himself, and nor would he now claim that he could be like any other man or better than others. So he was the perfect choice because he would not claim he could had resource that. So that marked me, and I'm forever marked by that. And I now, I can't even look at Peter without knowing, whoa, that whole massive failure was so that part of the preparation to strengthen your brethren. So anyway, can we stand up? And I want you to release an anointing.
Okay.
Holy Spirit on us.
Okay. If you just like lift your hands and have your hands lifted up and facing, you can lift them way up or just like I receive. The attitude of receiving. Oh, I just sense the Lord is saying that he sees each of your stories from the time you were little, from the time you were in the womb even. He knows every place you've been, everything you've struggled with, every hurt, every triumph. He's seen it all, and he's coming into your story. I see Jesus coming into your stories, even encounters that you're going to have with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, where things that you're like, oh, I don't want to go back there, Lord. And he says, I want you to ask me where I was then. Ask me where I was in that picture, in that memory, in that place where you thought you were so alone. I see things where you're coming alive. I said, Lord, what do you want to say? And I just see your stories, each of your stories, that some of you have had such pain and such death and such loss that it's almost as if you were to look back or even look forward or just be in the present. It feels like it's gray or gray matter, that it's so dead. And I see the Lord bringing your life, your story with him. You as the co-star. He is the star. You're the co-star, but you're co-reading. You are together. I see him bringing technicolor, like they do in the movies, right? How they brought the technicolor, like in The Wizard of Oz, where it was gray and then it became color. And I just see him bringing color. I see him bringing life. I speak life over your story in Jesus. I speak life over your stories in this moment forward, that he's coming to take over. But in life, 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 I just decree and release life over your story, not anybody else's story, but one that has been lovingly crafted by the hand of God. And he's saying, like, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, son. I want you to hear this, daughter. That your story is the main attraction. It's not like the B movie. It's not like the one that was low budget. It's big in him. It's big. And he's coming. He's coming. He's coming to all the old places. I feel there's restoration coming as he brings healing to those places in your past, as you're like, Jesus, where were you? And some of you are going to really experience some amazing things about where Jesus was in that place. That place, you're like, I don't want you to touch that, Lord, but he's like, I do. And he's saying, I want to bring such restoration, actually, from the hardest places. I'll bring the greatest victory, the greatest authority, the greatest story to unlock hearts, to unlock yours first, but to unlock others. Thank you, God, for the summer of love where you're going to unlock our hearts.
Yes.
You're unlocking our hearts through love, through love, not through shame or like, well, let's look at this like it's a, classroom that we're all bored in. We're like, I don't want another assignment. It's through it's through love. It's through fun. It's through joy. It's through the power of Holy Spirit to come like grace and childlike faith. Thank you, Jesus, that you're coming to the kid in us. You know, your inner kid is not so serious. Ha 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 ha. Your inner kid is really quite happy and full of life. And I bless the little daughter, the little one in you. For some of you, you're gonna smile like you haven't in a long time. And it's just supernatural. So it's gone are the days where you have to try so hard. Thank you, God. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And I just release that stories are coming alive. Your story is coming alive. Your story is coming alive in Jesus. I thank you, God, that you have encounters for each person, that there is a union and communion with you unlike anything they've ever known. Thank you, God, that it's by the power of your Holy Spirit coming in sweetness. For some of you, you've forgotten what it's like for things to actually even feel or be sweet. Whoa! I release the sweetness and the kindness of God that leads you to think differently and to just be, just for things to become new and shiny and beautiful again, that he makes everything beautiful in its time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Let's respond to the Lord. Let's respond. Just respond to him, whatever you've heard him say to you. Yes, we agree, Lord. Whoa.
Thank you, Lord.
Whoa. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. None of us have been forgotten. None of us forsaken. We've all part of the master story. Thus it was written. Thus it was necessary. We're on a journey into discovery. Yes, there is death, but there is always resurrection. Yes, there may be suffering, but there will be glory. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Whoa. We give you permission to start the story again, rehearsals again, to start living again, to start dreaming again, to start believing again. Whoa. Now see yourself, whether at this moment or anticipating a moment to come, as we've heard the prophetic word of encounters coming, which are nothing but Holy Spirit coming in to be the director and producer of our life and finance through Jesus Christ. But see yourself anticipating our life and the Lord coming, like that gallant prince who comes and kisses us back to life, who comes and helps us discover that we're not just a stepsister, but we're actually the heir. It helps us come back into a future and a hope. And whoa, and we can forget the past and we can desire the King and the beauty begins to be seen. Whoa. Lord, I bless and believe, and we've seen it, we sang it, we worshiped. It was not anybody scripted this, but you did. That for each of us, there is coming time upon time of re-encountering you to see our life from you and through you and in you and with you till you have your complete description over us and we can rejoice again and dream again and live again. Bless our whole body. We would give you permission. I'm going to ask a bold thing, and if you're willing to agree, then it would be helpful. Acts chapter 2, the declaration of the explanation of the Holy Spirit was that everybody started having visions, everybody had dreams, young were visions, the old were dreaming. There was prophecy, there was tongues, there was just a supernatural language of the Holy Spirit. Would you be willing to become a super production house for the Holy Spirit, where he could just start painting pictures, speaking words, nothing weird, but neither anything that perfect that we can control? Would you? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and start the story again. Start the production company, the Acts production, the Acts production that you want to reveal Jesus Christ in us, to us, and through us by the power and your person, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Amen.